Hello and welcome to Grow by Cassandra. I'm so excited to be recording this podcast. It has been a minute. And this podcast stems from a current personal triumph. I don't mean to make it sound really deep, but it's just what I'm going through currently, which is usually when I decide to pod, because life teaches us as we go along. So if you've been listening, you know that I've talked about past pains and growth and experiences. Well, after my divorce, I felt pain, like immediately after. And then as time went on, part of my healing process, I started to feel lots of irritation and discomfort. Coincidentally, the same thing happened when I moved and got a new job that stressed me out. It stressed me out. I was mad and then I was irritated and sad. All those emotions. But like what I found that a lot of my experiences have had in common are that there is some level of irritation involved. So most recently, I underwent a major surgery, And I don't want to go into too many details about that just yet. You know me, when I'm ready, I will certainly share. But I do want to share what I'm learning in the healing process. First, let me say, yes, I'm healing well. I'm doing fine. The first few days were actually manageable. I had a lot of medication and support with the pain. Even after that, the pain was, it was okay. Like, I think I was in a state of shock and just understanding what I had been through. But then as the days passed, there were moments when the slightest movement, aka me trying to sit up or trying to go use the restroom, those movements shot a sharp, unyielding pain across the site of my incision. So the pain came, but it was manageable. Now, a few weeks from out from surgery, I'm experiencing something a little bit different and a little unique. I'd never been through surgery before, but I'm experiencing itching. And at the site of my incision, but it's below the surface of my skin. So the itch is deep, which is irritating because it's not something I can get to. Like, I can't actually effectively scratch it for relief. Mentally, my brain is telling me scratch, but itching is just a part of the process. So, of course, it's got me to thinking. I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to be itching. Is irritation a part of the healing process? Is it a part of growth? And yeah, of course, it is. It's a part of growth, medically speaking, emotionally, and I believe even spiritually. Irritation is a part of the healing process. So I did some research. I started looking to see, like, what does an itch mean? Why should we scratch? Why should we not scratch? How can I reduce itching? Just like questions that you come up with when you have no choice but to sit still and heal. And you have a lot of time to do some Google searching. So I got these answers from the Naked Scientist, sponsored by the University of Cambridge. So pretty reliable. And then there's another site that I looked at, which is Advanced Tissue. And they are like HIPAA, Better Business Bureau, Get the Skin Deep newsletter endorses them. Anyway, they're legit enough for me to have enough to share. It relates to healing. So All right. So the skin has nerve fibers that communicate with the spinal cord saying, hey, an itch. Okay. So skin, nerve fibers communicate, spinal cord is involved, and that's how we get an itch. So according to my research, even as kids, people know that you're supposed to leave a wound alone, right? So when you get hurt, you need to allow the wound to heal, and that healing comes from a process. Well, itching can actually irritate sensitive skin. It can slow down recovery. It can worsen the scarring, but that's if you don't allow healing to take place. I want to say naturally, but in the emotional realm, there needs to be some work that comes along with it. Medically, this process is called mechanical stress. I just want to call it stress. Some people think of stress as something negative, but stress actually is just a signal to our brain that something is going on, something is wrong, that there is an adjustment that can be made and growth that can take place. So healing takes place when the cells around the wound grow and take root at the base or the foundation of the hurt or the wound. So the cells, I'm going to say that again, the cells around the wound grow and take root at the foundation. The cells then unite with other cells and combine to pull the wound closed. In essence, the itch allows the cells to get to the bottom of the hurt and pull the wound closed. So itching allows the cells to get to the root of the hurt, of the pain, and pull the wound closed, thus allowing for healing. So this reminds me of a scripture that I love because my life has taught me that it's true. And I really depend on this scripture in a lot of ways to get me through tough times. You know, everything doesn't always go according to how we plan it, but I do believe that God is in control and he's able to make everything work out the way it's supposed to. So Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God works all things for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I'm wise enough to know that I've made way too many mistakes and missteps to give myself any credit for my current position in life. I know that it's all God. And I know that a part of the healing, a part of the irritation, a part of the itching is allowing the cells to form around the wound, get to the bottom of the hurt, and pull those things closed to allow for healing. However, healing wounds can sometimes become very itchy, tempting some to scratch the affected area. That's funny. I just scratched my hair, my head as I said that. Now that's a different kind of itch. That's a need to co-wash natural hair type itch. So that's a different itch for a different podcast. Back to this. Other factors can also lead to itching. As the AARP reports, during the recovery process, scar tissue begins to form over the affected area. Let's call these emotional scars. Okay, so a lot of times hurt does come with emotional scarring. Pain does leave a mark. And when too much of this tissue grows, it can form hard, smooth growths known as keloids. You might be familiar with keloids. If not, Google it. Look at what a keloid looks like. So emotional scarring, when there is too much of it, can be visible. It can be visible. And these can irritate the skin, particularly when rubbed against clothing. Okay, let's call the clothing a dressing or a mask or a facade. I put it in those terms because a lot of times we have hurt and we have irritation, and instead of allowing the wound to breathe and heal properly, We clothe it, we dress it up, we put a mask on it, and we're wearing a facade. Well, in this case, keloids can change the physical appearance of the skin after healing, and they can lead to scarring. In other words, dressing up a wound, dressing up your pain, dressing up your hurt, when it actually needs to breathe, can distort the foundation. Remember, again, we said the cells go to the wound and they pull the wound closed. They get to the bottom and pull it closed. Well, that scarring can prevent that process from really taking root deep at the foundation. There are a couple dangers of scratching. So I thought about my wound. I thought about like emotional, mental situations, even physical that have happened, and like how scratching is not the answer. And there can be some dangers in scratching. It can cause damage to the new tissue that is replacing what's been damaged already. So really, if healing starts to take place and you scratch, you're damaging the newness that was going to heal the skin that was affected. It can slow the healing process down, so you may keep having to start over, and it can even leave you susceptible to infection. So we know, you know, what infection is, but in terms of this analogy, infection can just mean a deeper and more severe issue. So let's think about in terms of relationships. You know, maybe, and I'm speaking from experience, maybe your heart's been broken. And rather than take time to self-reflect and to process and to go to counseling or to journal or to cry or whatever it is that you need to do, you start that process and then you jump into another relationship. Or you jump back into a previous relationship. And in essence, you have scraped the layer of skin that was beginning to heal. And you could end up with an infection, which can, of course, lead to more scarring, a longer healing process. And if you're not completely clean and you're not completely careful, as you go to scratch, you can transfer harmful bacteria to the wound. This puts you at a higher risk for infection and it affects your healing process. You know, I just thought about this too. Infection can spread. And so if you are infected and either you're oblivious to it or you're just not in a place where it is a concern to you, that infection can spread to you or to other areas of your life. So if you're struggling in the area of relationships, but you're not finding healing there, that can be transferred into your work life or your spiritual life or even how you care for yourself. So here are some tips for reducing itching. Okay, remember, itching is a good thing, but here are some tips just to reduce it so that you're not tempted to scratch. If you're experiencing an excessively irritating itch, right, what you want to do is seek professional. For normal irritation, there are some things that you can take to reduce the itching. And again, this is an analogy. So I would say a professional is a professional, a therapist, a psychologist, like finding, seeking, and getting help. And there are some wounds that are so deep that you know, I know, we know that only a professional can really help to uncover and to heal. And so I'm a huge advocate for therapy. Go get it. And if you need help finding it, reach out. Reach out to me specifically. If you need help finding free therapy or inexpensive therapy, definitely I can help set you up with some resources. All right, so here are the steps or the tips, I would say, to reduce itching. The first is get clean. Now, in the natural medical sense, this would be like washing your hands or really cleansing and deep cleaning the wound. But I mean, get clean, like take time, pour into yourself, mindfulness, worship, devotion, prayer, my favorite, which is crying. Sometimes a good cry is what's needed. Journal, write down. You need to like purge, like get it from inside of you out. Talking about it can help as well. But be mindful of who you talk to about your wound, because you want it to be someone who can help you heal. I don't know if I did say prayer. Okay, so someone who can help you with your healing, and someone who can help you to process it. I think of prayer because, like, talk to God. The second thing is to protect the affected area with a basic wound dressing. Now, remember, we talked about dressing possibly being a mask or facade, but when I say a basic wound dressing, I mean something that's healthy, which is establishing boundaries that helps with prevention, and it gives your wound time to air out. You can't break your leg and then run a 3K, right? You have to take time. So you need a boundary or a limit so that you can properly heal. The next is to refresh. So you may need a cool down period, a period of time where you're taken away from the irritation. Your mind is taken away, or literally like you are taken out of the situation that is causing irritation. This could be a staycation. I would have said a vacation, but if you are listening to this in real time, it is, what's today? It is April 4th, 2020, and the world is dealing with COVID-19 coronavirus. So you better not be taking a vacation. Stay put, stay home, and staycate. It could be Netflix, it could be FaceTime, it could be a nap, decompress, whatever you need to refresh. And for some people, like a good meal and a nap can help you to refresh. The next tip is to apply cream. And when I think of applying cream, that means that you are bringing in reinforcements. So I just broke down cream. C is call. So you may need to make some phone calls to families, to friends, to loved ones, to a therapist, to make sure that you're getting the covering, getting the healing that you need. You may need to read. I believe that knowledge is power, and a lot of knowledge can be found in a good book, online, the Word of God, previous journals. You may need to go back to times when you were able to heal and remember, recall the strength that you have and the process that you went through. Also, E, engage. So by engaging, you are choosing not to isolate. And engage doesn't mean participation just for the sake of doing something, but you may need to engage in an online class, in a community that supports you and understands you. You may need to engage with some creative outlet that you have already established or that you've been interested in, but you may need to build a connection that will help you to heal. The A is to ask questions. That could be of yourself, that could be of others. Seeking wisdom is so wise. That sounds funny, but it is. Again, knowledge is power. And so sometimes we go through things that someone else has been through or can potentially be an expert on. And so we just have to have the boldness, the vulnerability, and the courage to ask questions. The M is maintain. And maintain sometimes just means to stay still, to know that what you're doing is the right thing, and to know that healing is a process. For me right now, my maintaining is getting a lot of rest and basically staying in bed. And that's very, very challenging because mentally, one day I may think that I'm capable of more movement than I'm actually capable of. And my body and my mind reminds me of it. So I'm learning day by day to just maintain, to do what I can, to do what I'm able to do, and to trust the process that things will and are getting better. Healing isn't always a solo job. Sometimes it takes a village. So I want to shout out my village, my parents, my sister, my friends, my family, even people that I guess I would consider associates who have really been supportive at this time. If you have a village, you want to keep them in mind as you are healing, because they depend on you and you depend on them. Whew. Okay, in a nutshell, irritation is not always a bad thing. The itch can be good. You hurt, you cry, you itch. Itching is irritating, especially if you can't like get to the source. It's infuriating even sometimes. I mean, it can burn. Like, you ever had an itch that really burned and you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Just know that it's part of the process. And sometimes it's a part of the process that we like to skip, but it serves a purpose. The itch brings everything together so that the healing that we experience is deep-rooted and lasting. Feeling irritated right now, was that your current state? Or do you know somebody who's feeling irritated? Here's what you do. Get clean, protect the wound, refresh, and apply cream. And after you do those things, make sure that you take time to breathe. Inhale and exhale. Because you're growing, friend. You're growing, and that's what's important. And for those of you who've listened to this whole podcast and you're like, that itch does not, like, this doesn't make sense. If your itch isn't related to hurt, maybe you just need to take a bath. Oh, that was funny. All right. Well, this has been another episode of Grow by Cassandra. I hope you enjoyed. And I hope if you don't do anything until we talk again, you make sure that you grow.